Hour number two of that 590 show coming at you right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HG2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti, Rudolph behind the dials. The Bellman Automotive phone line, 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. Congratulations, though, to Mike Kay of St. Louis winning the two tickets to the Cardinals and the Red Sox for Tuesday. Enjoy the game, Mike. I believe that is the game where they're giving away the replica World Series ring, too. So make sure you go by there early and pick up the tickets and get to the game early so you get that ring. But make sure you don't give it to a girl because we don't want to be sexist. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a film critic for RealSpoilers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. Kevin Brackett, how are you, sir?
Hey, Matt, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing better than what the King Arthur movie is doing on Rotten Tomatoes. I know a lot of people were pretty excited about this movie. You have Guy Ritchie directing it, and he's directed a lot of big movies. You know, Snatch, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. He did the two Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. And then here comes this movie with Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy. So there's a big audience there, but not exactly a great film from what I'm reading.
Yeah, you've got that right. You should try going to see it. It is, yeah. I'll tell you what, I didn't have very high expectations for this one at all, but I surely would have thought it would have been better than it ended up being. I'm officially retitling this movie King Arthur, Legend of the Snore. It is that boring.
It was that. Okay, so why were your expectations so low for this movie? Like I said, I mean, you got Guy Ritchie directing it, so, I mean, he's known to make some pretty quality films.
You know, it just looked like a little bit of a mess. I don't watch too many trailers because, you know, I'm sick of the movies being given away, especially for comedies. Not that this is necessarily a pure comedy, but I hate the jokes being given away. I hate seeing too much of a film. So I tried to go in with a blank slate. I'm not the biggest fan of Charlie Hunnam. I don't know what the appeal is. I know he's popular with the ladies, but I don't think he's a very good actor. So he doesn't really, you know, do anything for me actor-wise. And it just looked like it was going to be a bit of a mess. And I'll tell you what, every single bit of that ended up being true. It is a very, very long movie, unnecessary long movie. It is 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
It felt like it dragged on forever. And this isn't your classic King Arthur story. So basically what Guy Ritchie tried to do is he tried to make this one of his heist movies and apply it to, you know, more medieval times and knights and the round table and all that kind of stuff. So you know, he basically, instead of King Arthur, you know, being found by Merlin and being raised as a knight, that kind of a thing, he was actually, in this one, his father actually had Excalibur. So his father was the king, played by Eric Bana, who Eric Bana is a fantastic actor, and I wish we would have seen more of him in this movie. But his father, King Uther Pendragon, holds Excalibur. He defends the kingdom, saves it from the threat of the day, but it ends up that his brother, played by Jude Law, is waiting in the wings, and he is jealous of Arthur being born and taking over his line of succession, and so he ends up having the father killed. Before he dies, the father encases Excalibur in a stone, and that's how the sword ends up in the stone. But he also ends up sending Arthur down the river like he's Moses, and he sends him to a town called Londinium, which actually was a real place. It's where current day London is, but it's like the settlement of Londinium. And so instead of Arthur being raised as a knight, he is raised in a brothel. And
oh my God.
Running a brothel. Yeah.
So King Arthur was a pimp.
Yeah, I mean, really, in every, I mean, practicality, literally, every, you know, definition of the word, he was found by three prostitutes that pulled him out of the river, and he was raised doing odds and ends and sweeping the floors of the brothel, and he ends up growing up and taking it over. So it's a very different origin story, but growing up in this environment on the mean streets of Londinium, you know, managing this brothel, he has his you know, swarmy bunch of blokes that he runs around with. So instead of, you know, him running into the knights or who will become the Knights of the Round Table, which I think they wanted a sequel out of this, and that's what they would eventually become, but probably not a good chance of that anymore. But, you know, it's more a bunch of criminals and a bunch of, you know, ne'er-do-wells, and so they're running around the streets, and basically, meanwhile, the evil brother is trying to get the power and wants to rule over the people. They don't respect him like they did his brother, but he needs that sword. And so he is rounding up all the young males that that meet the age requirement and look like they could be Arthur. And it ends up that the real Arthur gets rounded up. He goes up to the sword in a very David Beckham tells him to go pull the sword out of the stone.
So, of all people,
David Beckham's in it. Yeah. You know, got to have David Beckham.
Why not?
For, you know, yeah, exactly. And he ends up pulling the sword out of the stone. And from there, it is just a bunch of CG nonsense. It's very, very, very bad action scenes, very boring, you know, not a lot of good sword fights. The thing is that the interesting part is that they reintroduced the magic part into the lore of King Arthur, which could be really cool, but Merlin really isn't even in it. You see him for like 1 second, but, you know, you don't have Merlin. You don't have a lot of really cool stuff going on. So when King Arthur... When Arthur swings the sword and he actually uses Excalibur after passing out the first few times he tries to use it, he swings it at the bad guys, and then all of a sudden there's hundreds of them, you know, like a whole army laid out on the ground. It's just not exciting. It's just a very, very poorly choreographed action scene really throughout the entire film, and most of it is just a bunch of boring dialogue, and you know, you slog through it for 2 hours, and at the end of the day, you didn't see good action, you didn't see good acting or good dialogue. It's the jokes all fall flat. You know, Guy Ritchie's trying to do his fast talking, you know, crime guys, you know, and trying to be funny the way they tell their stories, and you know, it's just I think Charlie Hunnam lacks the charisma and lacks the you know, the comedic chops to pull that off, and it was very, very disappointing.
Kevin, I was trying to have this discussion the other day with some friends about how Hollywood keeps blowing the King Arthur story. It seems to me that two of the most popular stories really in the zeitgeist of both America and England are the Robin Hood story and the King Arthur story, and yet, aside from the two most well-known satire versions of those stories, Hollywood has consistently blown both of them on the big screen time and time and time again. Why is it so hard for Hollywood to get... Is it all stories that are so familiar to us that it's hard to redo them? Or what is it about the King Arthur story that just keeps throwing a curveball at Hollywood?
You know, I think on paper, the reason why people were excited for this is I think it had potential. I mean, you've got the director of Sherlock Holmes, like you mentioned, you know, Sherlock Holmes being the most famous detective in literature, and here you have the most famous knight in literature, so kind of bringing a modern take with you know, not necessarily set in a modern sense, but, you know, with the creative and clever editing that Guy Ritchie's known for and his storytelling, this could have really worked, but it ended up being a mess, and I think the problem is with King Arthur, you have to have a good story, first of all, and this story was not good. They changed all the things that we know about it.
You got King Arthur as a pimp.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not to say you can't do a spin on an old tale and modernize it or change it a little bit, but the direction they went was really stupid and it didn't work, and I think the reason he went that way was to get the comedy and to get him as kind of a street rat growing up and you know, not in a setting with knights and being trained properly. But, you know, so the story was lacking. The dialogue was really bad, and they tried to make it too comedic, and it ends up being so bad that it's not even funny. You know how it is when you have a movie that's bad, but you still laugh at it, and you can find, you know, something positive. It's so bad it's good, whereas this movie isn't even to that level. It is so bad that you just want to leave the theater unless you have to go on the radio and review it. You know, I wish I could have left. It literally was that boring, and it is going to bomb this weekend. They're looking at it on its $175 million budget. It is going to make somewhere around $20 million domestically.
Wow.
Honestly, I had some hopes that it might come close to the Fuqua and Clive Owen movie, you know, that Arthur movie. I thought maybe it would come close to that one, because that one, I thought, that was another one where they took an angle that wasn't really seen for the legend on the big screen in America. They took a different way to it. They had some big names. They had a good director, obviously, guy who directed Training Day. So, and just like that one, it seemed like it had all the stuff that even this one's missing, but even that one just kind of fell flat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the funny thing is that when I was watching this movie, I was thinking of the 2004 film, which was not very good, but compared to this one, I wish I was watching that one. That's how much.
Wait for a Saturday on TNT.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So the King Arthur from 2004, like you said, had the big names, had a ton of people in it, had a talented director, but they still didn't get it right. And I think that has to do with the writing. You have to have that good story at the heart of it. It doesn't matter how good the actors are. The dialogue has to be good, and it has to be a good story. And I don't know if they're changing too much or not sticking to the lore that is most known or, you know, stupid decisions. Who knows? But I think that they really need to nail a good story with a good writer, and then action sequences. These movies are about sword fights. You want to see King Arthur in some great sword fights, and in this movie, he's actually trained in a martial arts dojo, so go figure.
You were complaining about Charlie Hunnam and how bad his acting is. Do you know what he was originally cast to be?
No, I do not.
You're going to love this. He was supposed to be the original Christian Grey.
In the
50 Shades of Grey, he was supposed to be the original Christian Grey.
Wow, he's not. So think of how much worse great auditions.
Just think of how much worse that those movies would have been there for you, Kevin.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I can't imagine that acting getting any worse. But geez, yeah, I remember that now, and I think that would have. I can't imagine it, but yes, you're right. That would have been awful.
Another movie coming out this weekend is the return. It's called Snatched. It's the return of Amy Schumer to the big screen, and also Goldie Hawn as well. I think they're both kidnapped and held for ransom. It's an R-rated comedy directed by Jonathan Levine. Do you know anything about this film?
So I didn't see this one, but I did have one of my reviewers go to see it for the site. So if you go to ReviewSTL.com, there is a written review. And what I've heard is that it's good, but not great. And that's coming off the heels of Trainwreck. You know, that was such a good movie, such a funny movie, made a ton of money. And I think that people are going to hold it up to that. And okay, it just isn't that caliber of writing. And I think that for whatever reason, maybe since we haven't seen Goldie Hawn in so long, I'm not sure, but I'm also hearing that she just doesn't work in that dynamic as well as you would have expected. So it was just kind of a letdown.
The other movie coming out this weekend is The Wall, which is not a propaganda film put out by the Trump administration.
Did LeBron make a movie version of his game show?
Oh, I was going to talk about it's not a proposition movie put out by the Trump administration for the southern border wall that he's trying to propose, but rather it's a movie starring John Cena. Right now it's got a 67% Rotten Tomato meter reading, and it looks like it might be pretty good, although it's set in the Iraq War, and usually movies that involve the Iraq War, 9/11, anything like that, they normally don't do well at the box office, no matter how critically acclaimed.
Yeah, that is true, you know, especially with the subject matter and still it being not that far from memory. But you're right when you say the critics are taking to this one better than anything else. It seems like if you're going to see a movie this weekend, this is the one to see. Now, I don't know if it's open in St. Louis yet. This might just be an East Coast, West Coast kind of an opening for this week. But it is getting some good buzz. It does have Aaron Taylor Johnson in it, which he was the kid in Kick-Ass, so you remember him. And he's also Quicksilver in Avengers Age of Ultron. So he's a good actor. He's done a lot of, you know, he can do the comedic beats. He can do the action beats. So I would be interested to see it. I'm more curious about John Cena in a serious role, because he really has become a comedian over the last few years. So I've never seen him in anything where he's actually had to, you know, use his acting chops. So that will be interesting.
Kevin, we appreciate your insight as always, sir. What can we look forward to next Friday?
Next Friday is one that I am looking forward to quite a bit, Alien Covenant.
Okay. We're looking forward to it as well. Kevin, enjoy the weekend, and hopefully stay away from that King Arthur movie. Watch something good to help you forget it.
Sounds great. You guys enjoy too. Take
All right.
Care.
Thanks, Kevin. That is Kevin Brackett from the Real Spoilers podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. Let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and Matt Rocchio.
Round two of the Players' Championship today from TBC Sawgrass. The leaderboard at the end of it, top two, tied for first. It's Louis Oosthuizen and Kyle Stanley. They both shot 6 under 66s in round two to move to 9 under par. Right behind them, J.B. Holmes, 2 strokes back at 7 under. And right behind him in sole possession of fourth place, Vijay Singh went 4 under for the day and is 6 under for the tournament. In action started just a few minutes ago, the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics tipped off from Washington, D.C. The Wizards have jumped out to a 12-10 lead. Quick note here. Wizards are the home team trying to stave off elimination. In this year's NBA playoffs, the home teams, while trying to stave off elimination, 0-10.
Not a good sign.
So the Wizards trying to break that hump for the home team, trying to survive. And a little bit later tonight, about 40 minutes from now, the Western Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs get kicked off between the Nashville Predators and the Anaheim Ducks. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Coming up after the break, we're going to be joined by Greg Moore. He is the head coach of the River City Raiders. They're having their last game tomorrow evening at the Family Arena here in St. Charles. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Do it, baby.